Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Our good friend Dave Colonen is not with us this week. He's still recovering. He's had a little health issue, pacemaker installed, but he'll be back with us probably next week. He's a strong, courageous person. However, in his place today, we have an exciting board member from Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. In fact, he was with us last week. Dan, would you say hello to our friends? Kind of introduce yourself. They might not remember you from last week.
Well, it's good to be here, and I'm anxious for the program.
Dan Martin is one of our finest directors. He has the cattle hoofing business out of Newville, so you might know of him. He's tremendous. If you know him, you know he has a heart of gold. So he is excited to be with us, and he has a program lined up for us today that really is going to stimulate some thought process. And Dan, we thank you for all that you have accomplished, all you stand for, and what you represent in this good old world that God has presented to us. The title of our program today is kind of like our timing versus God's timing. It's a very, very good question, and we've been asking these questions, my, since Abraham. It's a good question to ask, but God has his way of doing things, and we have ours, and we sometimes get carried away forgetting who's in charge here. If God seems so far away, then who moved? Remember that expression?
Well, you know, Giff, I've seen the churches already, and I know they mean well, but I think there's times that people seem far from God, and yet they really didn't do anything to deserve it. And we're going to talk about that with some scriptures today.
Great, go ahead.
All of us have probably had some trouble in our lives already, and we had times that we did not seem close to God, even though we didn't think we did anything that may have caused a problem. It's very likely that somebody listening right now could be going through some rough times. If you are, we both, Giff and I, have experienced some troubles in our lives, sometimes that happen to us without knowing it's happening. It's easy sometimes to read about it when other people are going through rough times, but sometimes it can be a real challenge when that rough time hits our lives. So what we're going to do is look at some of the scriptures and some people that went through some challenging times, and I'm sure that they questioned God from time to time as far as what was happening and why. When you look at Abraham in Genesis 17, you know, he said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation." Now, Abraham at the time was 75 years old, had no children. The Israelites at the time were much like today. They loved to have children. They wanted to have children and grandchildren. And there's Abraham, very successful financially, but he had no children. And God's promising him, "You will have a great nation, but you need at least one child in order to start something like that." I think it was difficult, you know, for Abraham to trust God, that God was going to somehow solve this problem. But when, and of course, Sarah also had some issues with it too. Finally, Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Of course, I thought already, can you imagine somebody, there's not too many people, especially men, that make it to 100. But could you imagine somebody 100 years old bringing their baby to church for the very first time, and they just have that smile of a new parent? And his wife was something like 90. And it just, you know, we usually think of that somebody in their 20s or maybe 30s. So Abraham was 100 years old when he finally had his son Isaac. And then it was some years later, then God came along and said, "I want you to take your son." And what's interesting, he says, "Your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering." Of course, we know that he had another son to Hagar, Ishmael. But in this case, God said, "Your son, your only son." And I can imagine what was going through Abraham's mind. I mean, it took till I was 100 to have a son, and now you're telling me to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. But Abraham was faithful, and of course we know the story, at least I hope you do. If you don't, you should read about it in Genesis, starting with 17. But he was up there, and Isaac was even strapped on the wood. And then God said, stop, there's a ram in the thicket. And of course, we know that solved the problem. But he tested Abraham, and of course, Abraham won with flying colors. Next, we go to Genesis 37, where we have Joseph. You know, Joseph was the favorite son of his father. So with that in mind, you know, he made this coat of many colors for him. He probably had a little bit of an ego problem because we know he had these dreams, which eventually got him in trouble, I think. I think the brothers were probably jealous of him because they saw the favoritism, they saw the coat of many colors. Then he had this dream of the sheaves bowing down to him, and of course, the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. And even though he was around 17 years old at the time, I'm sure it just upset his brothers to no end. And so eventually, when they had a chance, they sold him into slavery, got a little bit of money. They, first of all, were thinking about killing him, but they sold him into slavery. And I'm sure that Joseph might have thought, here I am thinking I'm being faithful to God, and my whole world's coming apart. And then, of course, he had the issue with Potiphar's wife, and he was a very faithful young man. And then, of course, he got charged with assault or potential assault and was thrown into prison. And then, of course, the cupbearer and the butler were also in prison too. He interpreted their dreams, and he said, you remember me when you get out, which they didn't, at least for a while. It was several years later when they finally did remember. But here's this very faithful man of God, that's in prison, probably asking himself, why am I here? Then eventually, of course, he interpreted a dream for the Pharaoh and got out, made an accurate prediction, and he was in charge of what was happening. Then eventually he saved his people. You know, God used that method. Now, it wouldn't have been nicer if God would have told Joseph, now, you're going to go through some rough times, you're going to spend time in prison, but you're eventually going to come out on top. And they will actually bow down, which they did if you read the story. But he really didn't know what was happening, and I'm sure he questioned God as to why. I can't imagine he wouldn't have. Then, of course, another story is Job. You know, it's interesting. It's a quote that I've heard many times. And in Job chapter 1, and of course, the very beginning, Job was such a man of God that he would sacrifice for his children that just in case they sinned, that their sins would be covered. And toward the end of chapter 1, God and Satan are having a little conversation. And then God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Then, of course, they had a little conversation, and Satan said, well, it's just because you're giving him lots of blessings. Anybody could be faithful then, but if you took away his blessings, he wouldn't. And then, of course, he had significant losses. And while he was yet speaking, another guy came, and he eventually lost everything, including his children. And he had a phenomenal amount of animals, and they all were lost, and there was only four of his servants survived. And yet he was so faithful, you know, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then we go to chapter 2, and I think this is interesting. The very same quote is used. Have you considered my servant Job? Even though he was tested, he was still faithful. I'm sure that Job had no clue as far as what was happening. He thought he was faithful. And then, of course, at some point in time, his three friends came, and they said, you know, God's a good God, and God blesses those that honor him. So apparently you must have done something wrong.
Must be you.
It must be you. And I can't imagine that Job wouldn't have just been scratching his head thinking, what is going on here? But it was God's timing. You know, God has his timing and does things, you know, for his own will. It's easy to read it in a book, you know, even though it's the stories we're talking about in the Bible. But, you know, I went to Christian schools all my life, and so I knew these stories from the earliest comprehension of these stories. And so I knew the end as I got older and comprehended it. But then finally I started thinking, what would it be like? Because Job at the time, in real time, he had no clue of what he was going through. And of course, he became depressed. He wanted to curse the day he was born. He wished he wouldn't have survived. His pain was that intense. And yet he was still faithful to God. And then the entire book of Job, with the exception of verse 42, chapter 42, is about the challenges he has. And of course, to the at the end of Job, then God said, "Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that?" And I mean, I think Job was a very humble man before he started, and yet here at the end of Job, you know, God's challenging him. Eventually, God restored his fortune. He got it back, but he didn't have any clue for the period of time that it was. Then we can go to into the New Testament, where we have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When you look at John chapter 11, Lazarus becomes sick. So they were very close friends, and they observed Jesus doing all these miracles, and they thought, this will be easy. We'll send for Jesus. He'll come down and heal Lazarus, and Lazarus will be fine again. So they called for Jesus, and I am sure that as they were waiting, you know, they probably made a guess as to when Jesus would come. They're now their ability to communicate was very limited. I mean, it was by foot or maybe with an animal if you had that kind of money. But I'm sure they kept thinking, well, Jesus will be here maybe by the time the sun sets tonight. The sun set, Jesus wasn't there, and Lazarus got sicker. And the next day, they thought, where's Jesus? I'm sure, where is Jesus? Lazarus is getting sicker and weaker. And eventually, of course, Lazarus died. And then eventually, Jesus came. When Jesus came, of course, they were in the midst of, you know, how would you say, they were in the midst of sorrow. And anybody that's lost a close family friend, you know that you just are, it's a difficult time. Mary and Martha said, you know, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You know, one of the Jews said, well, here's a guy that can heal the blind. I wonder why he didn't heal his friend, you know. One of them, I forget which one it was, implied that Jesus didn't care enough to come. Right. And that's how alone they felt. It's one of these situations that when they were going through it in real time, they just assumed that Jesus would come. Now, the truth is, eventually he came and healed him and he came back to life again. But during that period of time, they, like I said, they had no clue. And I'm sure their mind was going in circles. They were trying to figure out what was happening. Where's this guy Jesus that had really loved him? So it's something that maybe you have some thoughts on it.
Yes. Well, I understand that story is a very powerful story. Mary and Martha had witnessed all of the miracles that Jesus had performed, and they were convinced that he was going to be able to help them out. When he didn't show up, they assumed that Jesus abandoned them, and that just wasn't the case. Jesus knew of what he said. Hey, you know, I'm going to go there, but I have other things I have to do first. It's a matter of priority. It took him a couple of extra days to get there, but he eventually did. And when they came in their mourning, they were mourning the loss of their brother, and they said to Jesus, hey, you know, hey, if you'd have been here, man, you know, and my things might have been a little different. He said, show me where he is now. And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. And you are correct. The timing was awkward to us men on earth. But to God, that wasn't unusual. That's just the way it had to be. So your point is well taken, Dan. Things are done in God's time, not in our time. The Holy Spirit works in his ways, and we don't ever understand it. We always are hoping things are done now. That's just not the way it is.
Well, the big thing is we have to be trusting of God and understanding that his time is always right, but it certainly may not be the same as what we have picked. Matter of fact, many times it isn't. You know, when you think there's Mary and Martha, and of course he said that he was going to come to life again. And they said, of course, on the resurrection, Jesus says, no, he'll be to life, you know, now. And what's interesting is shortly after this, they decided they've got to kill Jesus, you know, after they observe this guy coming back to life again. So the question we want to talk about is, can we prepare ourselves for going through rough times? Somebody said either you've gone through rough times, you're in rough times, or at some point in time, you will go through rough times. And I think it's good if we can develop an attitude and a trust of God that if that happens, because in some of these stories, especially Job, he had no clue. But even Joseph, I mean, I'm sure the thoughts went through his mind, you know, what's happening? Here I am following the Almighty God, and I'm in prison.
He's blaming his brothers.
Yeah.
Where Job didn't know who to blame.
Yeah. So it's one of these things that does happen. And, you know, my story, we went through some things like that.
Your story?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your story.
You know, my story was, you know, I had some challenges as a child. feeling approved by my parents. Then I graduated from high school, and the first decade that we worked on the farm, things went really, really well. Prices were great. Production was great. We made money. We bought equipment. I totally paid off my debt, but all I owned was cattle and equipment and crops. I had no land. And so in 1980, then, we moved out to Cumberland County to buy our farm. And at that time, everything changed. Prior to that, we had low interest rates and high inflation. And about the time we moved, things turned around. And inflation also went into deflation. And the interest rates went, they just kept going up. And I think it was up as high as, what, 20% or something.
Yeah.
And, of course, we moved and just had a huge amount of problems. Our production, our milk production, we struggled to even, we were basically at the bottom of the county list within a year. It just was something that everything I did before that worked, all of a sudden it wasn't working. It was one of these deals that all of a sudden we went from no debt to the debt of a farm. But then what happened was, because of the troubles we had, we kept, how would you say, accruing more debt and more debt and more debt. And I finally thought, are we going to be able to pull this thing out? Because it was a long time until we were able to pull it out. And we eventually got our milk production up to where it was and where it should have been. But by that time, our debt levels had gone up quite a bit, made it a lot tougher for us. And of course, the milk price had dropped significantly. And so we were again, you know, having struggles. Then in the midst of that, we were expecting a baby. Unfortunately, the baby was born, and shortly after birth, it died. And I can still remember, you know, standing in that delivery room and just observing, you know, my mind was in a whirl, observing the my world almost collapsing. And it just didn't in any way seem fair that we were going through all these other struggles, financial and emotional and spiritual. I mean, I was questioning, you know, am I in God's will? I mean, it's what's wrong? What's why is this happening?
Where did I go wrong?
Yeah. Then, of course, we had a plan for a funeral. When we were planning, you know, we had my wife had the room all ready with a crib and toys and rattles and things like that. Then we had to tell our family. We had to tell our friends. And it just is very, very difficult. And there's a lot of people, other people have gone through things like this. But when you have to tell somebody bad news, and people knew we were expecting a baby, and just, you know, some people would bubbly say, oh, you had your baby. What did you have? You kind of hang your head and said we had a baby boy, and it did not survive very long after the birth. Then all of a sudden they feel bad and you feel bad. But it's something that many people go through. And like today, there's somebody somewhere that just found out a loved one died.
That's right.
And somebody found out they have stage 4 cancer and 6 months to live. And, you know, somebody found out that the stock market or the stocks they owned dropped. And at the same time today, somebody somewhere just found out they're going to be a parent for the first time or a grandparent for the first time. And so it doesn't matter what day you're talking about, there's somebody somewhere that's experiencing tremendous losses.
That's right.
Or tremendous things on the right side. And the question is, sometimes you want to be very patient with somebody in the event it looks like they're having a bad day, because they might have just gone through something that is very, very difficult.
Yes, I can understand what you're saying, and we all go through those trials and tribulations, and nobody is exempt from those things. And your point is well taken, Dan. When these things happen to us, we wonder, where did we go wrong? Is it my fault? Did I make a mistake? Was I using my judgments instead of God's judgment? But you know something? It all is the way God had it planned. And we shouldn't second-guess the nature. We have to keep doing what's the right thing to do. And you pray about that, and you find out what is the right thing to do, because it's not always so obvious. It's like you and your farming business that you were mentioning. You went from great success to being unsuccessful. You say, hey, where did I go wrong? Well, in God's time, you flipped that around, and it came around to now you're on top of the world. And you went through some hardships and hard times, family loss, just like Job. In fact, maybe we should nickname you Job, shall we? You had lost family. You had lost wealth. You had lost livestock. You lost everything but your very business. And Job lost all of those things too, but he kept the faith. Even when his friends doubted, you must have done something wrong, because look at you, he was all over boils, and he was scraping the boils off, and they said, you're awful, a mess, you've lost everything. And Job would not deny his faith in God. You too, Dan, did not deny your faith, and you kept doing what was right all along and maintained your Christianity. You are to be commended. And really, that's what we have to share with our listeners today. They have hard times. Yeah. You've gone through hard times. You've lost family and loved ones. Who has it? We've all experienced that loss. And if you haven't yet in your life, you will someday. It's difficult. And we always want to know why. It's not for us to know. Some things will just never be explained to us until we make it to the hereafter. And when we meet Jesus in heaven, and then we can ask those questions and we'll find our answers. Until then, we have to maintain our faith. And that's your point, Dan. The point of this message today that Dan Martin is trying to share with you is God does his work his way in his time. And it's not very often that it's also our time. If it does happen to be the same time, consider yourself fortunate, because it always happens in God's time, in God's way. And that's what we have to learn to appreciate. No matter where you're walking in this good old world, what your stage of life is, how rich you are, how poor you are, really doesn't matter. How strong is your faith? That's what matters. Your faith in God will see you through all those tough times.
One other thing I'd like to mention, that for those who for those people that don't know, we have a book that we published, and my story begins on our book called Go Tell It on the Mountain, on page 53. So anybody that's going through rough times, I encourage you to pick up a copy and read the book. If you want to hear my story, start on page 53. And a donation of $10 to the station to help keep us on the air, you will get a book. And then you can read about it and then hand it over to somebody else.
That's excellent, Dan. Thank you for sharing that. In fact, we don't mention that often enough. We've had that book now for a couple of months, and it's getting well distributed. There's a lot of people have asked for a copy of it, but we should promote it even more. There's a book that was written by this radio station, the people that have started this radio station, the board members and the staff, of their background, their life, how they got interested in it, how they started at the radio station, and what it has meant to them. It's a very inspirational book. And I would say one of the most heartwarming stories is that one of Dan Martin that he's just shared with you. Dan is a very interesting person, had a wonderful life, and he has it all written out for you very clearly. So it's a good investment.
Some closing thoughts, and that is, can we trust God controlling the timing of events in our lives? That's something we should think about. Will we be faithful when we are tested?
Very good. Thank you, my friend. You are correct, though. We have exhausted our time. The clock on the wall says it's time for us to say bye-bye. Thank you, Dan, for being here. Thank you, Carla, our engineer who has worked with us. We thank you for your efforts as well. It's time for us to say goodbye.
Bye now.